Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Am I on? Is that on? Is that on?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want everybody to move a seat in symbolic gesture that you're never going to be in a rut. Thank you, team, except my brother there. Bless your dear hearts. Thank you. I love this worship team. I'm just sad that you're missing God so badly and that you should be traveling with me. I love the presence of God. And I love the servants of God. I have great admiration for pastors, having been one myself and pioneered several churches. And being a pastor is tough. People think pastoring is just a breeze. But you know, nowadays, well, when I was coming up in the gospel, you would have an altar call for those who want to be pastors, and it'd be a rush to the front. Now, you'd be lucky to get a parrot that wanted to be a pastor. And, but it's a hard job. You say, well, how's a hard job? Look in the mirror. That's why it's a hard job, because while you've got human beings, you've got frailty. And you've got people get hurt feelings over nothing. Sometimes it's legitimate, but more or less nothing. I've been in ministry a long time, but the one thing that I've really locked into, for me personally, is that outside of the presence and outside of His anointing, I can do nothing. And I've stopped it now, but I used to get a lot of invitations to be an MC at a wedding. I think they looked at me and up front here and thought, "But he'd be a live wire doing an MC at a wedding, or conducting some kind of thing." You know, outside of the anointing, I'm so dependent on it. Outside the anointing, when I'm home in my house in Australia and I've been out of the pulpit for a bit, Kathy will tell you, when visitors come, I literally stammer and stutter for words because I'm uncomfortable. The only time I'm really used to working and speaking is under the unction of God and under the anointing. And people find that hard to believe because I'm fairly fluent. But the reality is, when I get back home and I'm out of it for a while, just even holding a normal conversation, let alone preaching. And my wife's been embarrassed at times, sitting in her house, even friends that will call on us, and I'll stutter over words, and then I get hot under the collar and I get embarrassed myself. But I need the anointing. And if you don't think you need the anointing, you should not even contemplate ministry or leadership. You can't be an elder without the anointing. If you want to be an elder or a deacon without the anointing, you're on the wrong job. Be a plumber. Be a builder. But I need the anointing. I need the presence of God. I need to sense His presence, not only in my mind, but I need to sense the presence of God in my emotions. I'm an emotional kind of a guy. Hallelujah. And I love, you know, people say, oh, it's all feelings. Yes, a lot of it is. And I love the feelings. Jesus made me with feelings. He created me to have emotions, and I feel God in my emotions. I feel Him in my soul. I love the Spirit of God. I love Christ. I love doing what I do. I was out to dinner today with Dale and Gene Gentry, and I just said, I love what I do. They said, and I told them I was going to live for 30 years. I love telling that story because I'm going to live for another 30 years. But I did tell God, I asked God, He said yes. And I said, oh, excuse me, one more thing. I said, I don't want to end up in an old people's home chewing fruitcake. I said, I want to be absolutely a live wire when I reach the ton. And I think scientifically, from the age of 90 to 100, you don't age much. Get to 100 and all hell breaks loose. Hallelujah, glory to God. Can you turn me down a little bit? I'm ringing somewhat. So between 90, if I can get to 90, I've got a home stretch for 10 years. And Dale said to me, what are you going to do for 30 years? I said, I'm going to preach. While I can still move and have my being, I'm going to preach. Hallelujah. God is good. I had a guy ring me up in Australia. He's an enemy. He's been an enemy a long time. So when I saw him on my cell phone, I thought, who? What's he want? And he's crying on the phone. He's weeping on the phone. And I said, what on earth are you crying for? And he said to me, he said, I've got to get rid of this. I've got to offload this. He's a Christian brother, but he's still an enemy. And I said, what's the problem? And I was a bit suspicious of this guy. He said, God is raising you. God wants to bring you to Australia to have a mighty move of the Spirit. And my problem with that is I don't even like Australia spiritually. I love America spiritually. I'm called to this nation. So I don't even like Australia. And when I've been here for a certain period of time and I get used to your accent, because you know you've got one, right? Oh, no, seriously. No, honestly, you have. I'm amongst foreigners here. And so I go back to Australia and I go through customs and I hear this, g'day, mate, how you going there? And I go, oh, God, that sounds awful. That really sounds awful. And I want to jump on a plane and go back to America. So tonight I'm going to deal with something. And I attempted to do it last night. But I want to deal with something. I want to kill something tonight in order that you can live. And this is something that I went through for many, many years, could never get deliverance or freedom from it. So we want to deal with the scripture as I read last night. So I want us to turn to Exodus chapter 14 tonight. Would you put your hands out towards me like this for a minute? Say, Father God, grant Nigel a teaching anointing. Give him clarity. Give him wisdom. Give him discernment. In the name of Jesus. Father, let him minister out of a shepherd's heart tonight. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I want us to turn, if we could, to Exodus 14 and verse 13. We could go, we need some strings, and could you just not play actually a song, but just improvise and float? Thank you. Father, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the glory of God. We thank you for your presence. And we're emphatically in love with you. I'm asking that your mighty hand would be outstretched over this congregation tonight. That people would be touched and blessed and upheld and delivered to love you more. Lord, I thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Everyone raise your hands for a minute. Close your eyes. Just receive his presence. Let him fill you tonight to overflowing. Fill us tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus. I don't know what kind of a day you had. You might have had a rotten day, terrible day. Some of you might be just tired, just exhausted emotionally because of what you're facing. And sometimes counsel is really crass. But when you get in touch with the presence of God, you can change everything. The presence of God is a game changer. go through all things in life. We're not immune to problems, and we're not immune to pressure. We're not immune to trial just because we're a Christian. But we have a God that loves us enough through them. We go through trial. We don't camp there. And whatever you're facing, whatever difficulty you're facing, whatever besetting temptation that always seems to dog you, no matter you take, you know, 3 steps forward and 10 back, and that thing, that wretched thing keeps coming back and tripping you up every time. Tonight, I believe you're going to get free of it, finally delivered and set free in the name of Jesus. We will be praying for people after the meeting. We will be laying hold of God and expecting to see God move in the precious name of Jesus. Now, Father, right now, as these precious people reach out to you, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come and so refresh and so touch and so energize in Jesus' awesome, awesome name. Hallelujah. 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 Those that are depressed, touch them with joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, let there be a release of joy, the force of joy into this congregation in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say howdy. Lord, we had a howdy anointing last night. Hands up those who were here last night. Hands up those who weren't here last night. Father, are you taking names? Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. All right, let's read the scripture. We read it last night, but those that weren't here tonight, I'm going to read this text. We got stuck on the previous chapter. But verse 10 of Exodus 14. When Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked up, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and the Israelites were exceedingly frightened and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you treated us this way and brought us out of Egypt? Did we not tell you in Egypt, 'Let us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Moses told the people, "Fear not, stand firm, confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see them again. And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest." Verse 19. And the angel of the Lord who went before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites, and the one host did not come near the other all night. Here is Israel in a very perplexing and bewildering situation. God, by the hand of Moses, brought them out of Egypt, the land of bondage and hardship. He brings them out of Egypt and he takes them towards the Red Sea. And they are caught between a rock and a hard place because Pharaoh comes to his senses and says, "My slaves are leaving my control." So on one hand, we've got Moses leading a very fearful nation out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea, no way of crossing across the Red Sea, and yet Pharaoh is pursuing them. And I want to say this tonight, just because God calls you out does not mean that God is not going to bring you in. God never promises that his will is easy. I always thought as a young man training in ministry that once I knew the will of God for my life, once I knew the will, it would be hard. But I'm easy rather. But I found this with my young days learning to be a man of God, that the will of God created problems, not took problems away. And the reason why God exposes us to trial is so that we can rule our spirit on the day of evil and be strong. God wants you strong, and He places us through trial and allows us to go through trial, so it makes us strong. It puts some grit into us. I remember one time I said to my son, who was, I forget what age he was 19, in church, and I said, I asked him this question, I tried him out, I said, "Do you think you're ready for ministry?" And he said, "Absolutely, Pop." And I thought, I've just heard the utterance of an idiot. Hallelujah. When you think you're ready, that is an indication that you are not ready. It's when you panic. When I remember getting my first church, my very first church was in New Zealand. And when the pastor called me and said, "I've got you your first parish, your first church." Now, I had church in my shower naked. I had preached many times naked as a jaybird, and I had altar calls in the shower naked. It was fantasy I used to practice. "Won't you come? I see that hand. Won't you come?" And not even the soap would get saved in the shower with me. And so I would practice. Everywhere I went, I practiced. I would copy men of God. I would go to a traveling ministry, watch what he did, went home and copied him in my bedroom. No one taught me how to preach. And you can tell that, hey? No one taught me how to preach. No one taught me how to move in the anointing. When I first came over here, I had to do a 501c3, and I had to prove that I was a man of God. I had to have some kind of certificate or some kind of ordination thing. And I didn't have one, because I relied on the anointing to open doors for me. So I found one on the internet and pressed print. Hallelujah. Glory to God, self-appointed. But it kept Uncle Sam happy. But I've always been an anointing junkie, so I've always depended on the anointing to open doors for me. But then I started going through trouble. I started going through trial and tribulation, and I wondered why and all. It seems like hell is cutting loose against me, but God was training me. And I remember coming into ministry, into my first church, and it was so different from the shower, because in front of me for the first Sunday morning I came, number one, which was significant, I was clothed. Secondly, I had real people sitting in the church, and I was their pastor. That dawned on me so heavy. I realized when I looked down, I can't look to my pastor. I can't look to somebody else. I am it. I'll never forget, there were a church that had communion every day, every Sunday. And what I didn't know, and I wasn't aware of, that the communion wine was real. And I've been used to grape juice all my life. So, and they had a chalice. They didn't have those little itty-bitty cups. They had the chalice. And so you had the chalice, wiped it, and gave it to the next person. Diabolical. I got rid of all that. Anyway, I just couldn't stand it, because if you've got somebody alongside you that's filthy, and he passes you the cup, you think, oh, my God, you sort of got, you know, you almost want to vacuum it out, you know, before you drink from it. And so here I am, and the church all leaned forward on their chairs as I grabbed the chalice, right? I learned afterwards they were a very naughty church, very mischievous. And as I took the cup, they all leaned forward, and I took a swig because I thought it was, juice, grape juice. Well, glory to God. I thought the rapture was coming immediately. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, my ministry got very happy. Hallelujah. I took I took this swig, and it's honestly like this. And the church got the joy at my expense. Hallelujah. And that was my first church. But we grew from 60 to 160. It was a rural town. We grew from 60 to 160 in about 3 months. And I was able to see the power of God move. But I had to make the transition from being a lay person now to a man of God full time. The problem was that I brought in baggage. I brought in some stuff. I brought in a lot of regret into the ministry. And I want to address that today. Because one of the biggest things that are against us progressing into the things of God many times is our past. Always fighting our past. And the devil always has people that will remind you what a bad boy or a bad girl you really were. Not only that, when you're in prayer, the devil oftentimes will bring past up to you. Things you may have done just a month ago, and then the pastor asks you to do something in the church, and all of a sudden the devil gives you a movie rerun, even though it's under the blood of Christ, and you've placed it under the blood of Christ. The devil gives you a movie rerun of the past failures. He's a brilliant director. So tonight I want to talk about this. I want you to write this down. I want to teach a little bit before I pray tonight, if that's okay with you. I felt coming to here tonight to exhort you that it's a season to reach forward and not allow your history to draw you back. You have to go back to your history and start deleting your history. When you bring something under the blood of Jesus by repentance and asking God to forgive you, you are in fact deleting your history. It's the season to reach forward. You will never embrace your future when you are tormented of what you got up to before you got saved or even as a Christian. The worst torment is when you fail God as a Christian. Many men are tormented. Significant men in the realm of the Spirit are tormented by failures, not only before they were saved, but even while they were saved, are saved. Your past will kill you. And you have to get released from this. I remember I battled regret for such a long time. Just regretful over many things that happened in my life. And I asked the Lord, I said, God, I've got to get a victory on this. This is tormenting me. And I can remember several years ago, God gave me the victory on regret. One of the most significant things in my life was dealing with regret. And I turned around to my young son. And I said to him, I said, Robbie, I said, we were talking about things spiritually. I said, I don't have one regret in my life. And he stormed out of the room angry. And he went to his mother. I hate when he goes to his mother. Glory to God. I can't get away with anything with my kids. So he goes to his mother and he says, Pop just told me that he has no regrets. And his mother came to me and said, how can you say that in front of your son? You have no regrets. And I said, well, I'm sorry if it displeases you, but I don't have one solitary regret. I said, regret almost killed me. But I put it to death. As far as I'm concerned, my past is down, deleted. I'm too preoccupied with future to worry about my past. And I will not allow my past. In fact, you may sit here, speak in tongues and 10 dialects, raise your hands, dance around the church, spin clockwise and anti-clockwise 3 times each, and look so charismatic, but you have got a past. In my country, we say past. So I want you to write this down. Here's the thought. Israel, we're in a problem. They're in a crisis. Write this down. Purpose is not always visible. problems are visible. Israel were oblivious to what was going to happen. They saw the problem. The problem was visible. Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh behind them. They did not see their purpose, but Moses saw the purpose. Pharaoh was chasing them. That's their problem. So here's the thought here. I have left who I used to become who I want to be, but my past is tormenting me. I am equipped. I have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I am filtering my gifts through my past. And I am limiting my ability to operate in the realm of the Spirit because I filter everything through my past. I'm moving towards God's destiny for me, but afraid that my past will come back and bite me. Write this down because this is awesome. And this whole story is about the chase. Write this down. The purpose is in the chase. There is purpose in your problem. Just because you can't see it does not mean that there is no purpose. There is a purpose in your pain. All things work together for good to them that love him. The condition of all things working together for you is that in spite of your frailties, you have a love for God. You're looking at what happened in your past, but God is always looking why it happened. You'll never be able to praise him about the what until you look at the why. Why did God do that? Why did I go through that situation? There is a purpose behind everything you go through in your life. So here's the question I want to ask you, because I was one of these. Are you a runaway slave? Are you running towards your destiny, but you're also running from Pharaoh in your life? Israel were runaway slaves. Even if they outran Pharaoh, they would always be runaway slaves, looking over their shoulder, wondering if they'll ever get caught. That's not living. Living is not always looking behind you, thinking you're passed by a phone call, by a person, by a disgruntled, angry person out of your past, comes back and starts to spatter your name everywhere and make your name bad. That's not living. You can't function in the future if you're trying to deal with that which is behind, forgetting those things that are behind. That is almost, for some Christians, an impossibility, because what you were up to and what you got up to is so big in your head. You find you can't function. My God, some of you can't even pray because you're tormented by what happened yesterday. Hallelujah. So here we find Israel running from Pharaoh, can't cross the Red Sea. They can't see the purpose. They can't cross the Red Sea. All they can see is the problem. And the fact is, they were released from bondage, but they were a slave to fear. God can save you. God can deliver you from your bondage, but you can be a slave to fear. I got tired of chasing that monkey. Somebody say, I'm tired of chasing that monkey too. Are you looking over your shoulder wondering if your past will catch up to you? I like what T.D. Jakes said. People come up to, he said, what your stock answer should be. When somebody comes up to you and reminds you of your past, you say this, so? How can you answer that? You did this, you rotten fellow, back there in the... So? Next time somebody reminds you of your past, say, so? I tell people that remind me of my past, careful, I work in a word of knowledge. I might start fishing in your life. Oh, yeah, baby. A friend of mine went into an open air in America here. He's a New Zealander. Went into an open air, was preaching in an open air, and a guy was yelling at him and abusing him. And he turned around and said, sir, you need to stop committing adultery and get back with your wife. In the street. I tell you, that preacher had that guy's undivided attention. And that night he gave his heart to Jesus, got his life right, left the adulterous affair, and went back to his wife. Hallelujah. I want you to get your arms up like this. Everybody get your arms up like this. I'm invincible. Yes, you are. Greater is he, God, that is within us than he or it or circumstances or things in the world. Greater is he. That's why you're invincible. You know what? They can't even kill you. They can kill this house that you live in, but they can't kill you. Glory to God. This is just a house. The real you has not been seen yet. I look at my body as that ages. I used to have hair like Kramer's. And Dale Gentry said to me today, he said, he calls me Niggly. He doesn't call me now, he calls me Niggly. He calls me Niggly because I did a pastor's conference with him, and on the monitors they introduced each speaker who was speaking in the sessions. And they got my name spelt wrong, Jim. Instead of N-I-G-E-L, they went N-I-G-L-E. So now he calls me Niggly all the time, Niggly. And I did a radio interview this morning, and he almost said Niggly, almost said Niggly. And it was a good save. But he said to me, he said, you're amazing. You see, when you get free and you move into the purpose of God, there is such a gratitude that's released out of your spirit. When you deal with regret, there is such an amazing freedom that comes with that. It almost makes you feel invincible. And it gives you a zest for life. I have a zest for life. This coming September, I'm 71. And I can still get my leg up there, boy, I tell you what. I'm looking forward to being 71. People say, do you wish you were 30? Oh, God, no. I would never want to be those ages again. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I thank God for wisdom. I got a bit of wisdom growing up. And I'd hate to be 25. Oh, my God. Imagine being 25 again, having all those urges. I've died to all my urges. Hallelujah. It's taken about 100 years, but I'm getting there. Glory to God. Hands up those who are dead to your urges. There's only two people. God, we need to be put in a home. That's what we need to be put in. We do. Honestly, this is a bad meeting tonight. Glory to God. Somebody say, I've got the urge. Contain yourself. Hallelujah. So we can be delivered out of bondage, but fearful that our past will get us. Why? Because your oppressor is always approaching you, saying, you will never be free. I will never let you forget. You might not be failing now, but the enemy is saying to you, I will never let you forget that affair. I will never let you forget that pornography problem. I will never let you forget how you've treated people and maligned their name by gossip. I'll never let you forget it. Even though you have repented and it's under the blood of Calvary, he will never let you be free from the memory of what you did do. One of the things I strive for, Jim, in my life, 71 years old, I don't want any crises. I want some peace in my life. I've been a man of war for a long time. I'm still a man of war. And I like fighting battles. But I do like to come off the battlefield and just kind of simmer. At times I regret being. Dale Gentry introduced me as a radical preacher. And I said to the Lord, I went into the bathroom after that. And then I came out of the bathroom after I'd been in the radio thing. And I said to the Lord, I said, I would love to be known as a moderate. Because moderate people have peace. People like me have enemies. Because I stir things up in people. I've been in meetings and the things got so crazy, I've had demons rush out at me. I've had all kinds of crazy stuff happening. Bishop Cody had demons would jump out of the seat and run up and try and throttle him in meetings. And so what he did, he got in there, grab his tie and try and throttle him in meetings. I've seen it happen. And so what he did, he went out to some cheap shop and brought a tie on an elastic, you know those elastic ties? Glory to God. Oh, that was a shock for that demon. Hallelujah. Ron, put that demon down. All right, glory to God. Came out, rah, grabbed his tie. Poing! Glory to Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. As long as you allow Pharaoh, your past, to chase you, you'll always be a slave. Living with a threat is not living. Living in peace is living. Living in contentment is living. Stop looking at somebody else's wife. You've got enough to contend with your own person that you married. The grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. If you jump the fence, that's two lawns you're going to have to mow. Glory to God. In fact, let me give you a cue, men. If your wife ever says to you, when she puts on a dress and says, "Do I look fat in this?" Do not answer under any circumstance. "Honey, does this fit me? Do I look fat in this?" Glory to God. Run for the hills. Never answer that. Because if you say, "You do not look fat," she will accuse you of being a liar. And if you say, "You look fat," you don't appreciate me. So you can't. It's a non-win situation. So God takes Israel through the water. They were saved through the water because the oppressor chased them to the water. I want you to get this. Everything that was God's came out of the water. Everything that was not God's drowned. There are some things that God takes you through to destroy who's chasing you. I'll say it again. There are some things that God takes you through to destroy who's chasing you. All you can see is the problem, but God sees the chase as the solution. You're fearful of the oncoming enemy, but God's plan is to drown it once and for all. The thought here is death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And he's teaching about baptism here, that if we are buried with him in the likeness, everybody say the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection have the debt raised. The thought tonight is this. Your past can be buried. Everybody say, your past can be buried. Okay, here's the deal about the past. Pharaoh's chasing Israel. Why? Because he thought he owned them. Your past is chasing you because your past thinks it still owns you. See, you'll never minister in the anointing as free as you could be if you don't deal with the past. Now, before I got saved, I was a wild child. I mean, I was a wild boy. And I got up to some stuff before I got saved. I come out of a household, my My mother, who's gone to be with Jesus. My mother was one of New Zealand's top opera singers. And when her voice started to go as she got older, she became a director and a producer of plays. So I was brought up in the zany, crazy household. My mother was absolutely crazy. She was a wild woman, and she gave birth to a wild person like me. But when she was about 80 or 79, 80, she'd call me up on the phone from New Zealand, and I'd say, hello, and she'd scream, ah! I said, what did you do that for, Mum? She said, I just felt like it. She was that kind of person. I loved her dearly. She was just a crazy person. But she had a capacity to love people unlike anything I've ever seen. She came runner-up in Citizen of the Year Award in a major city that she lived in New Zealand. My brother is a moderate. I'm the crazy one. Hallelujah. My mother was in a coma. Listen to this. She's 86 years old. She's about to depart to be with Jesus. She's lying in a coma in the old people's home, and she's lying there, and the doctor leans over her. Her name was Elsie. And he leans over my mother, and he whispers to her, he says, Elsie, you're not going to make it this time. So there must have been a few other times, but anyway, he said, you're not going to make it this time. Out of a dead coma, she said, we'll see about that. And went back into a coma, and a few hours later was dead. So God had to brace heaven for that incoming new person, my God. But don't you just love that? I love people like that. We'll see about that. That's why I love Jim. He just says, look at him. And he's got the bag and the thingy, but he's pumping and jumping. They told him he wouldn't walk, he wouldn't talk, he wouldn't do anything. He's doing everything. I love that about people. They don't lie down and die. Glory to God. I'm feeling pumped tonight. I can't wait to get my hands on you tonight. Glory to God. We're going to take your past and we're going to kick it over the goal line. That's how I get my aerobics every night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody in your seat, just go like that. Now do it with the right leg. Glory to God. You poor old things, look at you. He gave us abundant life.
Yes.
But that abundant life is not realized until you deal with yesterday. So Pharaoh chases them because he thought he owned them. So in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, God tells Moses, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, listen to this now, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. That's what Moses told Pharaoh. God told Pharaoh, I will kill your firstborn sons until you let my son go. So Moses tells him what God said. Pharaoh's response is this. He's my slave. God says, he's my son. This conversation that I'm telling you about now happens continuously with every born-again believer. Pharaoh says, I'm going after my slaves. God says, I'm going to deliver my sons. The same discussion is being held about us every day of our life. So listen to this. Write this down. This is really hot. So the slave runs to the water and the son comes out. So now former slaves are transformed into sonship and they are totally delivered. God's determination was not to have Israel under the pressure of forever looking over their shoulder at their past, as a slave delivered out of bondage, but still a slave to fear, a slave to what could happen. He planned to kill their past. And the proof was when they lay up on the beach, after everything has subsided, dead Egyptians everywhere. So there are five aspects about deliverance here tonight. I want to just share briefly some of these aspects concerning deliverance. Key number one, deliverance. When God delivers you from your past, there is a place of transformation. In that place of transformation, God teaches you to think differently, to live differently, to give differently, and to love differently. This is the place where we start acting like a son and stop acting like a slave. Here's the problem with the past. The past will make you act like a slave, but you're actually a son. But your past will make you act like a slave, and you will be enslaved. Do you know how many Christians, and I see hundreds of churches, thousands of people in a year, how many people are enslaved to yesterday, not able to get free? I've talked to people that have lived all their life as a Christian, tormented by their past, never being able to get free. This is the place of transformation where we learn to think differently, live, give, and love. It's a place where we don't act like we start acting like a son and stop acting like a slave, always walking around in a deficient way. God wants you to be victorious. He wants you happy. He wants you to be content, and He wants peace to rule in your life. Key number two, it's a place, this deliverance from your past is a place of determination. Write this down, it's good. Dying to being a slave causes you to be determined to be a son. Until you die to being a slave, you will never embrace your sonship. And here's the telltale. Why is it that when people demand what you be, what you are, you keep referring them back to what you were? Why is it that you always go back in memory lane and start regurgitate all the stuff that you went through? I went through this. I failed here. I failed there. You do that because you're still a slave. You are not that. According to the Word of God, you're not that. So your confession, what comes out of your mouth, needs to start and change. You are not your past. You are not your failures. Everything that's under the blood of Calvary, you are free from. If something is not under the blood of Calvary, you need to get it under the blood of Calvary very quickly. So what does the enemy use now to keep bringing you back to your past? Write this down. The enemy's hook is regret. There is legitimate regret for a moment. But regret for a lifestyle is wrong, and it becomes long-term your bitter enemy. You have to get to a place and a time in your life where you can honestly say, I have absolutely no regrets. Even if you come out of a marriage bust-up and you were divorced maybe once or three times or whatever, five times, you come out of a divorce and there's great regret. You can't have that. Regret will keep taking you back to the memories of all the hell that you went through and everything that you went through in those bust-ups. Regret will always take you back. Regret never takes you forward. It takes you backwards. And backwards is what God took you out of. Stop going back to what God has brought you out of. And the enemy uses regret. Regret is not your friend. Regret is evil. Say regret is evil. Regret. Say regret's not my friend. Regret. And see, people have a problem with that because they've made regret spiritual. They've made regret responsible. Well, I must be irresponsible if I have no regrets. But then what you do, you put underfoot the blood of Christ. We have to come into a place with Christ. We have to slot in to his forgetful heart and his forgetful mind. God's forgetful when it comes to sin that he's placed under the blood. He forgets. Everybody say, God's got a forget problem. Say, God's got a memory problem when it comes to my past. Our biggest enemy is not the devil, it's us. And see, what the enemy will do, he'll go fishing. You'll be riding high, being used by God, and all of a sudden, and the lure. You can't embrace that anointing of life that God has for you if you keep going back to the past. Why is it that when someone says to you, tell me a bit about yourself, and all you can tell people about is what you went through? You've got to get to a place where you don't even talk about the past. 5 divorces. Okay, that's not good. Right? But that's not your life now. Your life now is your future, your present and your future. Hallelujah. I have no regrets. I have no regrets. I have no regrets. I have no, have I failed? Yes, I have no regrets. Have you done things you shouldn't have done? Yes, I have no regrets. When you get a handle on the forgiveness of God and the love of God and the goodness of God, regret is dealt a death blow. I remember, Jim, have you heard of Graham Cook? Graham Cook. I was coming up, I had gone to New Zealand for some meetings. And I was in a Jaguar, a classic Jag, and the pastor was running me up to Auckland, which was about a 6-hour trip from Gisborne in the North Island. I was traveling in this, and he just said, can I just put on Graham Cook? And Graham Cook's got a real revelation on the love of God. Never heard anyone teach about the love of God like this man. He's from England. So in his English accent, he's very low-key, very moderate. And he begins to tell his testimony of how he found God or how God found him. And Graham comes from a crime family. They're still a crime family even to this day. And Graham also went to prison. And this is what I was listening to. The car was silent 6 hours. And I was tired. I was very weary. I've been working in America, then flew to New Zealand, had these meetings, so I'm really exhausted, looking forward to getting home. And I'm sort of listening and not listening. And then he tells the story where he went to prison, and a chaplain in the prison kept coming to him every day and telling Graham about Jesus. And he would have to listen because that's what the chaplain was being paid to do. And anyway, didn't make much difference. And so the chaplain left. And he had told Graham that he lived by the sea. Told him he lived a particular place in England by the ocean. And so Graham got out of, about to get out of prison. But he didn't want to go back to his crime family. Didn't want to go back to a life of crime. He wasn't saved, but he didn't want to do crime anymore. So what he did, he had X amount of money that he earned in prison, and he caught a bus. He knew the area that he needed to go, but he didn't know the area. He just knew it was by the ocean, and it was that way. So he found a bus that was pointing that way, and he got this money, and he gave it to the bus driver. And he said, wherever that lands me, he said, that's where I'll get off. So they travel, They come into the middle of rural England. The bus stops and Graham gets out. The story I'm telling you now helped me deal with regrets that were in my life. And so he starts to walk. And he's walking in this field. And over to the right side, he's looking and there is a man. What he thought was dressed in black. And he thought it was a prison guard because he had broken parole. He had to go to parole, remember? They let him out of prison. But he had to report. And he had missed parole, so now he had broken parole. And he thought the prison warden or the prison guard was out to get him. And he thought that was the prison guard. So Graham braces himself for a fight. He said, no one's taking me back to prison. And he gets ready for a fight. And this figure came walking towards him. And Graham's ready for a fight, and he just kept coming. And the closer this figure got to him, he couldn't keep his hands up. He couldn't keep his arms up to fight this person. And he felt himself going back like this. And this person came up and put his arms round Graham. And Graham just blurted it out. He said, I've been really bad in my life. And this person turned round and said, let's walk. Tell me about it. So they walked through this meadow as Graham unloaded his heart to what was Jesus walking with him. And he looked around and he just disappeared. So he was tired, he was exhausted, been a big day. So he lay down on the field to go to sleep. And through the night it rained. He didn't know this was Jesus. Couldn't figure it out. But it rained, except a circle about where Graham was lying. So he had rain and storms outside, and he had sunshine and dryness on the inside where he was. And he tried it out. He got out of the circle and got wet, and then jumped back and got dry. And he said, I look ridiculous. And just stepping back forward like this. But he got to a street, he found the ocean and turned left. And he got outside the house. He said, I'll try this house. And he went to the house and it was the chaplain. And the chaplain said, Graham, what are you doing here? And Graham told him the story. And the chaplain said, you just met Jesus. And then Graham went into this. I'm a seasoned preacher and I'm sitting in this classic Jag, and he begins to speak and he said, I learned that God really loves me. That God's goodness is incredible. That he loves me no matter what condition I bring myself to him in. After that, I went out to the outback, and I'm having an experience I think I shared last night. And every time I would hear Graham on this tape, driving to Auckland City, the Lord was speaking to me. And he kept telling me in my spirit, I love you. I really love you. I love you. Nigel, I love you. Graham would speak on, have I told you today that I love you? And every time he said, I love you, regrets and past seemed to vanish out of my life. And I got a handle on the love of God that I've never forgotten. And if you had a revelation like I did, on how wildly passionate God is with you and how much he loves you, it would blow your mind. I'm totally loved. And I come from a divorced family. My father walked out of my mom. And it was a bitter divorce. I was 17. It wasn't long after that I went into hospital and had a growth taken out of my spine. But I had a lot of regret, a lot of sadness in my life, even as a preacher. And God told me over again, I love you. I really love you. And I've been hearing God tell me that now for several years. Nigel, I love you. I really do love you. And I can't hear it enough. I thrive on it. And that helped me deal with all the hell and all the regrets and all the sadness in my life. The love of God. Just having a revelation of that. If you could understand that God so loves you, because many of us come out of a background where we didn't really experience that. I found it difficult because when I got married and I had kids, because I had no real concept of my own father, he was a brutal man. There was no such thing as normal discipline. It was with a closed fist. I found it very hard to father my own children. And we're a close-knit family, but when I got a handle on the love of God, I could love them even more so and love my wife even more so. So here's the deal tonight. Hands up those that would love to finish with regret for the rest of your life. Who wants Pharaoh to die tonight? I want to be able to drown the Pharaoh in your life. You know the Pharaoh that keeps hounding you, that keeps chasing you, that keeps making you fall over. You know that Pharaoh. Could we just move the pulpit away? Thank you. I want to say something to you. I want you to listen. This is a very significant thought tonight. You say, but even though you say you can die to regret, my past is still there. I don't know how this happened spiritually, but when I got a handle on this and I dealt with this, and I dealt with it by a revelation of the love of God. When I dealt with this, all of a sudden my past became invisible. I don't know how this works, but it began to be invisible. Invisible. And what I thought was tormenting was a lie. It was just a lie. Just a lie. So if your Pharaoh keeps coming back to you and telling you, I own you, I own you, you'll never be free from what you did yesterday. I'm here to tell you, that Pharaoh is going to die in your life today. You can go right through to old age, always scared of the Pharaoh is going to come up and get you. But that's going to stop. I want everybody to stand tonight. Everybody to stand tonight. So, Father, I pray tonight that finally Pharaoh is going to die in the Red Sea tonight. He's going to die. He's going to die. Say, Pharaoh's going to die. Say it out loud. Pharaoh's going to die. Say, my past is not mine anymore. It's under the blood of Calvary. I'm a free man. Glory to God. Tonight, I put to death the Pharaoh in my life. It's going to be a drowning time tonight in the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. By choice, I embrace freedom and peace and contentment. My past is under the blood of Calvary. It's not me anymore. I'm not what I was. I'm who I am today. By the saving power of Christ. In the name of Jesus. Now let me speak to your spirit. He loves you. God really loves you. Yeah, he does. He loves you. You might not have been loved by parents, but he loves you. You might be in a loveless or have been in a loveless marriage. God loves you. He loves you. He really loves you. In spite of you, he loves you. Rat bag you, he loves you. Always tripping over yourself and doing stuff you shouldn't, he loves you. God loves you. So this is what we're going to do. I want to pray for people tonight. I have a great belief, and have done for years, in impartation is a real key. Impartation will sustain a move of God. Impartation gets people baptized in the Spirit. Impartation can see people healed. Impartation can cause miracles. Impartation can cause Pharaoh to die once and for all. I want to kill Pharaoh tonight by the blood of Jesus in your life. So if I've spoken to you tonight and you know this is your number and this is your night and you want to die to regret, I'm opening the altars tonight. I'm going to open the altars. We can come down here, do what we've done last night, come and stand down here, then we can stand down the aisle. So if you want to come tonight, and I want the honor of praying with you and breaking that deadlock and breaking that bondage tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Richard, can you sing some worship songs? Hallelujah. So tonight, I want you to come forward. Come and stand down here. We're going to believe God with you. We're going to believe God with you tonight in the name of Jesus. Don't you get to old age having fought this all your life. This is the time to be free. Just Richard sings. So loved the world. Yes, Jesus. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes. Shall have everlasting life. There are going to be some people in your life that you shouldn't talk to anymore. There are some people that you've been trying to fellowship, so they'll keep quiet. You can't fellowship that mess. You got to break loose, cut loose. So I want you to say this after me, and then I'm going to come and lay hands on you tonight. And I want you to know this, and I've always had this about my ministry. I might only be with you for 1 second, but I'm telling you, I am so focused on you when I'm praying with you. I am so zeroed in on you like a bullseye in the realm of the Spirit. I've developed this over many years. In fact, when I'm laying hands on you for a split second of time, you are the most important person in my life for that split second of time. That's how focused I am. And I'm focused tonight. So I want you to say this. I renounce. Regret.
Regret.
Say, regret is not spiritual.
Regret is not spiritual.
Regret is going tonight. In the name of Jesus. My Pharaoh
is being killed tonight.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, when this crazy Australian prays for me,
I'm going to be free. In the name of Jesus. So when I come to you, no more talking about your past. Don't refer to it. It's not your past anymore. And know that God loves you. God totally loves you. Tonight He loves you. I want to speak into your spirit tonight. God totally loves you. In the name of Jesus. Today's a new day. In the precious name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A new day. Father, now, Holy Spirit, no regrets. In the name of Jesus, release the anointing into this young man's life. Pharaoh is dead. And Pharaoh is dead on your life. Kilara Mashaka Briata. People will think you're irresponsible when you tell them that you have no regret. But it's the most responsible thing you can say. Father, in the name of Jesus, regret, go tonight. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Rapo itikili briataya. In the name of Jesus. Pharaoh's dead. I speak it over your life. Tonight we drown Pharaoh in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Raise your hands, Father, tonight. Holy Spirit, give me room to work for God's sake. Thank you. Hallelujah. Pharaoh's dead tonight. Gone. Regret. Go from her. In the name of Jesus. We loose her from it now. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. I see a release coming on you tonight that's going to be absolutely enlightening and freedom unlike anything you've ever had in your life. Glory to God. There's going to be a freedom in your mind and a freedom in your emotions tonight. I see deliverance. Rapakiti kopuriata. Pharaoh is gone in the mighty name of Jesus. Pharaoh is dead tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless you tonight, Father, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, glory to God, the past is gone. Gone tonight, in the name of Jesus. Loose. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You know, over your life, this is the one word I get over you. I get promotion. I get promotion. I believe because of what's going to happen tonight, God's going to bring you to another level. I see promotion. I don't know what you do. I've never met you before. But I see, that's the word I'm getting, promotion for you. It's not going to be the status quo as you've been familiar with. It's going to change. Things are going to change. Hallelujah. As a result of tonight, it's going to be very powerful. Very powerful. I want you to say, God loves me. Yes, He does. Say it again. Say, God really loves me. Say it again. God really loves me. And I speak into your spirit and I tell you tonight, God really loves you. He loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. He loves you. He sees you as His friend. He loves you tonight, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, brusike ano. Loose her tonight. Pharaoh dies tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Raise your hands. Pharaoh dies tonight. Holy Ghost, Lord, loose her from regret in the mighty name of Jesus. Of the mighty name of Jesus. Raise your hands, please. Father, tonight, it's going to go. It's going to go. All the torment. All the torment. Whew, Jesus. Aha, shaka. Whew, glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Father, right now, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Whew, Jesus. Right now, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Whew, glory to God. Iramashike. Wushakara sadokeya. Lusa. Rati kore mashaka buriataya. Now, Holy Spirit, loose in the name of Jesus. Loose him tonight, right now. So some of you could come over here to the front. I'm coming down here. Father, right now, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I tell you, because of tonight, the anointing that you function under is going to be dwarfed by the anointing you will function under. Because tonight, Pharaoh in your life is dead, and regret is loosed from you right now in the name of Jesus. Rati iropo ikiti aramaguriate. Father, in the name of Jesus, shakabai. Father, now, Holy Ghost. God, the anointing's an amazing thing. Father, now, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. Glory to God. Father, now, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, now, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Lord, I release him tonight. Heshakaya, your Pharaoh is dead in the name of Jesus. And God loves you. Father, tonight, in the precious name of Jesus, tonight Pharaoh's dying. He's dying. He's going to die tonight. Loose him from that right now. Glory to God. Father, now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, loose her and set her free. Nice and gentle. Raise your hands, precious. Father, right now, glory to God. Lord, I release her from all regret and all torment. In Jesus' name. Rete pokishi kabriata. Now, Holy Ghost. Whew, shikibai. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Shakaburiata. Father, now, the name of Jesus. Good night for you tonight, baby. Huh? I really believe you're coming out of this. There are some things that have tormented your mind, messed with your head, messed with your emotions, and you almost find it hard to believe that this can be happening tonight. But I'm telling you, tonight, Pharaoh's going. Pharaoh is going. Pharaoh is going. And I speak into your spirit, and I say, God loves you. God so loves you. He is so in love with you. He thinks you're pretty tremendous. Rabashikiyatabuke. And you've been told and spoken many names, not nice names over your life, but God speaks over you with joy and he tells you, I love you, you're my friend tonight. He loves you. 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 I break off all the words that have been spoken over your life. Looser. Looser. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hirapati kishikiata. Father, tonight, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Father, loose her now. Loose her now. In the name of Jesus. Pharaoh, you're dead. Regret, go from her now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Helarabashiki briata. Raise your hands. See, look at me for a minute, church. When you have regrets, this is how you walk through life. You don't run, you walk. God wants you to start to run, not carrying a burden behind you. You can't carry your past into your next season. There's too much going on where God's taking you for you to be worried about what happened yesterday. I'm free. Everything that I've ever done is under the blood of Calvary. Am I a grace freak? No, I'm not. But I do believe in the majesty and outlandish grace of God. But it's not license. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, right now, I thank you. Tonight for you is drowning night. The regrets, the Pharaoh, the past, the whisperings in your ear tonight, loose him. Cut it off in the name of Jesus. Loose him from that thing in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, right now, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Hera Masi Priata, you're another word, another one where words, I see words, destructive words, soul-destroying words, spoken over your life, destructive words. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, loose her from those words. I cut the power of those words off her life in the name of Jesus. Here it comes, a Mack truck. Whooshakabai. In the name of Jesus, loose her and let her go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. This night is a defining moment for you. You look back and this is a defining moment in your life. I break every tentacle of those words off your mind, off your life, in the name of Jesus. You are only what God says you are. And I need to tell you, He so loves you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Rapu shikaramashike. Father, tonight, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, whooshakaba, loose her and set her free. In Jesus' precious name. Father, tonight, glory to God. Glory to God. Father, broken. Everything concerning yesterday, totally gone. Rapashikiyataya. Loose and let go in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Father, tonight we thank you, Holy Ghost. We thank you, Holy Ghost. Freedom, my brother. Freedom. Freedom. Tonight is freedom for you. Tonight is freedom from you. Loose them now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. You've been one that has stumbled and hated yourself for it. And then you go and stumble again and hate yourself for it. But those days are gone, and the Lord's going to bring you into a freedom that's incredible. Pharaoh tonight is going to die. He's going to die in the mighty name of Jesus. Say, Pharaoh's going to die.
Pharaoh's going to die.
Loose him and let him go in the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Sharamotoriata. In the name of Jesus. Father, right now, Spirit of God, there it is. There it is. All over you. Pharaoh's dead. Dead. Gone. Loose him from regret. In the mighty name of Jesus. Loose him from regret. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Yes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right now, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Here's my concern. And it's a concern that God has. So pray to the Lord of the harvest that he raise up, forget the wording, raise up laborers, send out laborers. Why does he say that? He says that because we haven't got enough laborers. And we haven't got enough laborers because no one wants to pay the price anymore, because we've been taught a greasy gospel that all you've got to do is smile and be happy for the rest of your life. Well, my gospel, I love the gospel, I love the goodness of God, but there are going to be some things you and I will go through. The Bible says in Peter, beloved, think it not strange, the fiery trial which is sent to try you, as some strange thing were happening to you. And I'm here to exhort this church, pay the price for the call of God. Pay it. Pay the price. The rewards are out of this world. You meet great people. Travel great places. You have a ball. I can't believe this is a job. It's great. I can stand up here and have fun and minister in the anointing and see God's glory come down on people. It's worth the cost. Excuse me. It's worth paying the price. Don't miss tomorrow night. What, we got two more nights? Hands up those who feel Pharaoh's dead in your life. I want you to discipline yourself. No more talking about your past. Say, I'm not going to talk about my past. Say, I don't have one. I'm free. Pharaoh's dead. Tonight he was drowned. In the name of Jesus. Amen? All right, thank you, Pastor Jim.
Grace and blessings are upon you and your house. God has fulfilled a divine appointment for you to be here tonight, to meet and to make your change. Express that love to other people that they can be free. Tell them you don't have to be held captive by what holds you captive. The blood of Jesus, the grace of God, His loving kindness. He doesn't see it. You can't afford to look at it. You're filled with wisdom. You're anointed with might from on high. Everything you set your hand to prospers. And in no thing do you come short. Go with God. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Be here or miss out.